This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello and welcome to L&G Talks Asset Management. I'm Nick Jardine, Content Manager at L&G. On today's episode, we're going to be covering the topic of platform investing. This strategy offers a different type of exposure to investors with the potential for delivering different return characteristics from certain core holdings. We'll be looking into what platform investing is, comparing its characteristics to core real estate portfolio holdings, and assessing what investors may wish to consider when making an allocation to this asset class. I'm delighted that today's episode will have an international flavour to it. I'm joined by Emma Pullen, Director of Real Estate Capital Raising based in our London office, and Jonathan Waldner, Director of Real Estate Capital Raising based in our Chicago office. Thank you both for being here. So let's start with the basics. If you're explaining platform investing to a client who had little or no exposure to the asset class, how would you describe it?
Thanks, Nick, and great to be here. I'll jump in first. Really at a very high level, the difference is that platform investing is the investing into the business that owns and operates the real estate rather than just buying the individual assets. Traditional real estate allocations are really for acquisitions of those direct assets, so an office building, a logistics warehouse, or a residential portfolio. And your returns really come from the rent you charge and hopefully some capital appreciation over time. Platform investing takes this one step further. You also invest into the engine that runs the assets, allowing for additional value creation, whether that's from making the business more operationally efficient, scaling the business, or building a world-class management team. All these in turn create value and therefore provide optionality when looking to actually exit the investment. And in today's environment, that is something crucial for investors to have certainty around the exit. When you invest in a single asset, your exit is usually quite binary. You're selling that building into the real estate market at a point in time, and you're largely dependent on where cap rates are and who's active in that cycle. With platforms, you have a much broader universe of buyers. You're no longer just selling to traditional real estate funds. You're also attracting strategic buyers, private equity houses, infrastructure capital, and in some cases, even public markets. This is because you're selling on the basis of growth. A strong platform has embedded pipeline, operational expertise, and the ability to scale. So buyers are underwriting future earnings as well as just today's current cash flow. And this gives you the optionality of how to exit. You can do a full sale, a partial sell down, or a recapitalization. You're not forced into an all or nothing decision at any single point in the market cycle. And I would say those are probably the key differentiators between platform investing and traditional direct real estate acquisitions. But maybe Jonathan has something to add.
Yeah, thanks, Emma and Nick. Great to be here. We also get some questions about the difference between GP stakes and platform investing and actually how those two strategies differ. You know, GP stakes more buying a minority piece of an asset manager, and you're betting on things like asset management fees, carry, and really the enterprise value. The underlying real estate matters in those scenarios, but the return that the investor gets is primarily tied to the GP business. Platform investing, on the other hand, is buying a majority piece of an operating company, or in some cases, which tend to be rare, but a minority interest with outsized governance and control. In those situations, you're acquiring the talent, the business, the sourcing capabilities, the relationships, and the whole operating infrastructure. And investors there are getting returns through both the platform's growth and the underlying real estate that the platform manages. So I think that's a key differentiator in the question that we often get when talking about the asset class.
Thanks, Jonathan. Let's stick with you for a second. You kind of alluded there to operational real estate, which is something that comes up in these conversations. Like, how would you define this, and how has this changed over time versus, say, traditional real estate investing?
Yeah, you know, some of this might be a little repetitive, but operational real estate is essentially where return isn't just driven by the asset itself. So think location, cap rates, and lease structures, but really it's by how well the underlying business itself is run. So you're investing in the bricks and mortar, but it's not just that. You're investing in an operating platform, which requires a significant amount of hands-on asset management. Think of sectors like, you know, hospitality, hotels, student housing, senior living, logistics. those are operating businesses within a real estate asset. The performance depends heavily on, you know, customer service and day-to-day execution. What's changed over time in, you know, real estate investing is, I think, historically, especially in some of the traditional institutional asset classes, it used to be a more passive business model. You buy a stabilized asset, you clip the coupon, and you'll benefit from some appreciation down the road. Today, a much larger share of the opportunity is in these operationally intensive sectors where the value creation comes from driving the revenue, improving margins, and ultimately scaling these platforms to make them more efficient and more profitable. As a result, the skill set required in executing these business plans is different. You know, obviously asset selection and all the top-down things you look for in a real estate opportunity still exists, but operational expertise, data collection, and you know, private equity style value creation levers are becoming increasingly important across real estate. I think if you look back 10 years, many of the asset classes that we dub as operationally intensive were viewed as niche. And I think a lot of people thought of them as maybe not institutional enough to be included in portfolios. Today, that's no longer the case. Investors have embraced these sectors as a way to both diversify beyond the major food groups of real estate. And as a result, what was once considered an alternative real estate asset class has become a much more established part of many institutional portfolios and just the institutional landscape broadly.
Thanks, Jonathan. Emma, as with any asset class, I'm sure expertise, experience, and heritage matter when it comes to platform investing. What in particular do you feel investors may want to look for in an asset manager?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in fact, it's often said by investors that at the end of the day, people buy people. So, and I'd argue that that's even more important in platform investing than traditional real estate investing. When you're investing in a platform, you're not simply buying the building. You're investing in the business, the management team, and ultimately the growth. And as our investment team often says, these investments talk back to you. You're dealing with the operating businesses that are making decisions every day, serving customers, hiring talent, and executing. So the quality of the people running those businesses is absolutely critical. And that's why our investors really look for a manager that has genuine experience in partnering with these management teams and not just owning the assets. Success in platform investing really comes from working alongside those entrepreneurs and operators to create value over many years. It's not a sell and build strategy. It involves a different skill set on top of the traditional real estate underwriting because you're helping build the business, not just managing a portfolio of real estate assets. Therefore, an important consideration that every investor makes is the blend of expertise within the actual management team. You need the real estate knowledge to understand the underlying assets and macro and trends and the markets, but you also need a private equity mindset, thinking about the business growth, the operational improvements, scalability, and the, to all intents and purposes, the exit. The most successful platform investors tend to combine both disciplines rather than approaching it through a purely real estate lens. I would also say that investors look for the evidence of this, that managers have successfully navigated different market environments and different cycles. Over the last few years, we've seen a period of rising interest rates, inflationary pressure, and economic uncertainty. A strong track record that has been tested across market cycles across many years gives the confidence to investors that a manager can adapt and continue to create value even when the macro becomes more challenging.
And I think that's an important consideration here. And I'll, you know, double down on some of the points that Emma made. But, you know, this business requires expertise and some gravitas. Ultimately, you're going into these operating platforms and you're becoming a partner and ideally a trusted partner for these entrepreneurs and these business owners. So having the experience to fall back on, being someone who can point people in the right direction, help them scale a business, make the right decisions on a day-to-day basis to move forward and grow the platform, ultimately making it not only more institutional, but more successful is important. And if you don't have a track record in the space, it's hard to go in and have trust gained day one. So I think that that's an important part of this business where you can make the right call on a real estate asset. Sometimes you can make the right call on thinking about growth potential for a firm and next steps that need to be taken. But in order to do it time after time, it takes time, it takes experience, and ultimately takes a level of conviction that the partners know what they're doing and can execute.
Thanks, both. Lastly, in both your roles, you're speaking with clients and potential clients each day. What are you hearing from them about platform investing, and what potentially attracts them to this asset class?
For me, two simple answers are return potential and portfolio fit. You know, in today's market, traditional value-add returns and achieving those has become increasingly difficult as rates have pushed higher and competition for highly sought-after asset classes has become more competitive. Platform investing, as we mentioned, offers a different way to create value by not only investing in the real estate, but also the operating business behind it. It really is a hybrid real estate private equity strategy, and that comes with being able to capture significant upside through growth, scale, operational execution, and hopefully, you know, market conditions. But you can also structure downside protection on the buy, which I think is important to investors, especially in a time like today. And then I think the other thing is portfolio fit. Many institutional real estate portfolios, as we see them today, are either at or near allocation. And when that happens, there are two things that can attract someone to a new opportunity. It's either a complement to an existing portfolio, so getting some exposure where they don't have it currently, or you're supplementing a manager that might have rolled off or a position that you no longer have in the portfolio. So, you know, this strategy, being that it is a little nuanced, I think there's less players in the space, specifically real estate focused, offers one of those two solutions for a lot of investors in today's market.
And I think I would add that return potential on this is a key driver as to why investors would first start looking at it. I think when an investor starts to dig a little deeper, they're pleasantly surprised when the financial engineering is limited on this type of investment. In comparison to a traditional value-add real estate strategy, you would expect there to be 60, 70, even higher percent leverage on those. With this strategy, yes, you are utilizing leverage, but that is not where you're creating the value. The creation of the value is really coming through these other levers at that operational level. And I think the second reason we're really starting to see investors get more attracted to this is it has really become an institutional asset class. Jonathan mentioned it earlier, where our team, and by that I mean the Proprium investment team, have been doing this for over 25 years. Now it's really getting the attraction because of this, the tailwinds leaning into operational real estate. Everyone has sort of termed the terminology of beds and sheds, but adding the additionality of hospitality, which is more of a non-traditional sort of asset sector, and being able to gain access via these platforms to a huge amount of underlying real estate. You're not just getting in a 1 billion portfolio, you're not getting access to 10 assets, you're getting access to all the underlying assets at those platforms. So that's a huge diversification factor on top of the portfolio fit that really is maximizing why investors are looking at this asset class.
Fantastic. Well, Emma, Jonathan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Nick.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of L&G's Asset Management Division, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and we're not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general market, economic or political issues, or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against L&G in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this podcast contains third-party information, the accuracy or completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information, not for distribution to any person in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulations. Copyright 2025. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Unless otherwise stated, references herein to L&G, we and us are meant to capture the global conglomerate that includes, in the European Economic Area, LGIM Managers Europe Limited, authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland as a UCITS management company pursuant to European Communities Undertaking for Collective Investment in Transferable Securities Regulations 2011 as amended, and as an alternative investment fund manager pursuant to the European Union Alternative Investment Fund Managers Regulations 2013 as amended. In the USA, Legal and General Investment Management America, Inc., a US SEC regulated investment advisor. In Japan, Legal and General Investment Management Japan, KK, a Japan FSA registered investment management company. In Hong Kong, issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, which is licensed by the Securities and Futures Commission. And in Singapore, issued by LGIM Singapore Pte Limited, company registration number 20223187 6W, which is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on LinkedIn or on our website.